outside, pollen. You know, one minute I'm healed, I'm okay. The next minute I'm sneezing, you know. So praise the Lord. I'm in here in one piece. Hallelujah. You know, God is a good God. He's a powerful God. He's someone worth celebrating. And on Sunday, we get to celebrate Palm Sunday. I love Palm Sunday. And that takes us into Easter Sunday. And it's so beautiful. But you know what? God is great all the time. In the good and the bad, in the valleys and the hilltop. So I just want to talk about some things tonight that God began to move and introduce. I don't know if you remember it, but Sunday, February 5th, it was a beautiful Sunday. Pastor Matt was up here. And he was preaching on end times. Exciting topic, huh? Very exciting, riveting, exciting, exciting stuff. And he told us not to fear. He was talking about the end times and, you know, the Antichrist and Jesus coming back and what is that going to look like? But he said, don't fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. So many times when we bring up Revelation, we get this knot in our stomach and it just begins to think, oh no, oh no. Now, as a joke, what I like to do, if we can't find somebody, whether it's at work or like, oh, what happened to Logan? Well, I don't know. He got raptured. And the Christians look at me and they're like, oh no. And I just love looking at the reaction because it's just like, did we miss it? I don't know. Did you miss it? You know? But tonight, one of the reasons I bring up that February Sunday was a very pivotal Sunday. Jesus talks a lot about knowing the times and the seasons. And I want to ask you something. Did you feel something on February 5th? Did you feel it? Because I felt it. Pastor Matt was calling our house not to fear. And tonight, my message is going to be exposing fear because so many times we've allowed fear to come in and cripple us. And as Pastor Matt preached that and said, I don't want you to fear, it was releasing the house not to fear. From our head pastor, they had authority in this house. It was saying, don't fear. Don't fear what you hear in the news. Don't fear the political system, no matter who's in office, Democrat, Republican. Don't fear what you see happening in Tel Aviv and in Jerusalem. Don't fear when you hear what's going on with Ukraine and Russia. So when your pastor releases you and says, don't fear, there's something that shifts in the atmosphere in our hearts, in our spirits, that broke something. And I'm sitting here on the front row, and I felt the shift. My heart began to palpitate, and the Lord began to speak to me. And he says, Parker, I want you to talk about exposing fear. Not just fear in general, but the little fears. You know, the little things like, you know what? Did I put gasoline in the car? And you're thinking this at night before you go to work in the morning. What's that doing? That's stealing rest. That's a fear. Oh, no, did I cash that check? Okay, so the water bill's due. Do I have enough to cover in the bank account? That is fear. God's saying, don't fear. But all of a sudden, when we begin to put all these things together, you know what it creates? It creates this huge cycle of fear in our lives. And that hinders us. So I'm sitting over here listening to Pastor Matt preach on that Sunday. I'm excited. I'm filled with inspiration. When Holy Spirit comes upon me, I start feeling inspiration. So I'm seeing over harvest, God breaking that bondage of fear. I'm seeing it over my family, breaking the bondage of fear. And I'm excited. And I'm just like, let's go. You see, fear prohibits faith-filled actions. So if you're fearing, okay, I got to pay the bills. Did I do that work project? When that coworker comes to you and starts saying, hey, can you pray over me? That fear is starting to prohibit you from praying over them in full faith. Because it's like, okay, God, did you perform this in my life? I misstepped over here. And we have to be very cautious to nip that fear in the bud. With fear, we have to manage expectations. Well, is my father happy with me in my last conversation? Did I miss something? Did I say something that creates fear? My wife and I were pregnant. She has technically 3 weeks to go. It's getting a little close. She would be here tonight. We started driving, and all of a sudden, she's like, I can't make it. I can't do it. I said, okay. So we turned the car back around, and so I dropped her off. She's going to call me if she needs anything, but we're coming down to the wire, probably more like 2 weeks. But all of a sudden, am I going to be okay, Father? You know what that's hindering me? It's hindering me right now from enjoying her right now. So I can put my hand on my wife's belly, and I can feel her kick. I come home, and I say, hey, Rose, that's her name. Hey, Rose, it's Daddy. I can feel her jump. If I'm starting to come over here and fear, am I going to be a good father? Am I going to be able to take good care of her? I'm not going to want to do that. So then I recoil. Fear steals identity and begins to build walls. We got to be the real us in relationships. You see, all of a sudden, if I'm beginning to fear all those things, then I'm beginning to fear, okay, you know what? What happens if I'm not a good father? So then I decided not to talk with my wife about it. That creates a breach in conversation with my wife. I don't know if you're starting to see the snowball effect. You know, the real point of the Bible, of this man Jesus, is community. And I don't mean community just in the sense of, hey, we're having a birthday party. Would you come over? We're going to have some barbecue and throw it on the grill. Community is, you know what? My life just turned upside down, and I need somebody. That's community. In every area of our lives, that's community. See, fear masks the true community because you're not wanting to pull that mask off. Like on a Sunday, well, how are you doing? Well, I'm okay. Or I'm doing great. But if you're not being honest with the individual, if I'm not being honest with my wife, that's going to create something completely different. She's not going to really know who I am if I'm not honest with her and saying, you know what? Because of this trauma in my life, I'm struggling and frustrated with how can I be a good father. Through that honesty builds a community and trust between my wife and I. So when she begins to see me, well, oh, Parker, you kind of missed it there. You're a little angry and frustrated. She can keep me in community, checks and balances. You know, Scripture says in Genesis that man was not intended to be alone. That's why he created Eve. That's why it's important to build community. That's why it's important not to allow fear to continue in our lives. And as I was sitting up here on that front row, or not front, well, front row, God began to say, I want you to begin to ask me to expose fear in your life. And he says, I want you to preach on this. I want you to preach on this. So as Pastor Matt ended his sermon that Sunday, I began to say, God, show me the fear. Expose the fear in my life. He started showing me different things. I'm up here on the front row crying, letting go of this burden, letting go of that burden, letting go of this burden. I tell you what, man, I went home and I was excited. Man, I'm walking around. I'm like, I haven't been this free in I don't know how long. This is fantastic. We get into the evening and all of a sudden we decided to watch a great movie. Actually, I don't think it's that great, but I don't know if you've seen The Good Nurse. Anybody seen The Good Nurse in here? Okay, we got one taker, okay. It's got Jessica Chastain. I don't know the whole story. I didn't watch it. Guys, I was sitting there watching it, and I started feeling uncomfortable. And I picked up my phone, and I'm scrolling. And Evangeline looks over at me. She says, are you okay? You doing okay? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm doing okay. Now, this movie, most of it takes place in a hospital. I don't like hospitals. You'll find out why in a second. I don't like hospitals. So I'm just like, yeah, yeah, I'm fine. I'm a man. I can do this. Yeah. You know, I'm going through it. I'm going through it. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to feel sweaty. I'm starting to feel clammy. I'm feeling like I just want to get out of, go somewhere, leave. I don't know why. I'm starting to realize I can't breathe. Fear is starting to grip me. And I'm thinking, wait a second, I just did all this exposing this fear stuff. Why is this fear getting into my crawl space? Evangeline looks at me, she says, you're not okay. And she stops the video. I get up and I am just covered in sweat. I can't breathe. She starts holding me. She says, are you okay? And I can't answer her. I cannot answer. I'm paralyzed in that moment. And all of a sudden, I see a vision 6 years ago of my dad in the hospital. 36 hours before he passes away, I'm in there at 1 o'clock in the morning with my brother. My brother is on one side of the bed. I'm on the other side of the bed. And I see my dad, who's really not verbal at the moment, but he knows what's going on. And he has this amazing look on his face. And he just looks at me and he looks at my brother. He looks at me and he looks at my brother. Well, I am panic-stricken as I'm having this flashback. And I start saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. That memory didn't go anywhere. I'm still struggling to breathe. Fear is gripping my heart. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Then I realized something. Jesus is right here with me. But he's not taking this memory away. So I need to yield to this because there's something I need to know, I need to see, and I feel Jesus. So I ask him, what's going on? What do you need me to know? And he says, Parker, in this moment, your father was transferring back his authority and mantle of fatherhood back to me. And I am your father, and I cover you, and I love you. In that moment, I broke down and sobbed like I had never sobbed. I howled. Everything within me just broke. I needed that. I didn't cry like that for my father. And I've been through a lot of funerals. I've been through a lot of death in my family. But God was there. But you want to know something? My father was 2 steps ahead of me. Do you know, 12 hours later, on a Monday morning, at 11 o'clock, I get a phone call from the Portsmouth Police Department. My mother has passed away. Do you think I would have been able to handle that pressure if I did not allow God to come in that moment? Here, I just thought it was a panic attack. But he's like, no, it's not a panic attack. This is me. Because I'm exposing the fear. I'm exposing the fear. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, I've always thought, well, if I'm taking it captive, I'm pushing it out. Pushing out means I'm safe, I'm protected. Did that happen this time? I said, Jesus, it was supposed to work. I was raised in a lot of the Word of Faith movement. I love the Word of Faith movement. I think there needs to be balance. But the name of Jesus is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. And what I began to realize in that moment, if I would have said Jesus and that memory would have left, I would not have the release. Because really my prayer earlier that morning was, God, expose the fear. And what God was showing me was, Parker, you don't trust me as your father. I'm going to expose this fear because I need community with you, because 12 hours later, you're going to need me in a way that you've not needed me before. So my encouragement to you tonight is, let's stop using that name of Jesus as an ace card to use willy-nilly to get out of jail. Jesus didn't come to take us out of tribulation, but to walk through it. So many times we want to just escape it. I'm glad my father held my hand and walked me through the pain of the death of my dad, because he's doing it right now as I'm struggling with the death of my mom 6 years later. Because I need that community. Those of you that are part of my community in this room, you know the ups and downs that I'm facing, because I'm taking off that mask. I'm being in deep community. You know, revival really is just an encounter, but with a God kind. Revival is really messy, because what it means is I'm coming into community, I'm facing emotions, I'm facing fear, I'm facing these things. That's what revival is. Revival is when there's snot running down people's nose, when they're crying out. It's not just when, hey, Jesus is in the room, come now, hey. That's not revival. Revival is when you know something just broke off. There is rejoicing, but there's also sobbing. There's also releasing. That's what we're coming into. Are you guys ready for that? Are you guys ready when people up here on the altar and they're shaking because they're just emotionally, they're letting it go. They're finally being into that place of community. I was thinking about it the other day, and I pondered, you know, I love the TV show Chosen, but there's something that's a little uncomfortable about it. And I began to ponder it. You know, Scripture talks a lot about pondering. Selah. Think on these things. David says that a lot. Selah. Think on these things. So when you begin to realize, hey, I don't like something, think about it. Know the why. Know the why. So I asked the Lord, I was like, why do I not like The Chosen? I love it, but I don't, which is a weird idea. And he says, part of the reason is because they're portraying Jesus in a way that is so human that you just can't put Jesus on the cross, allow him to go into the tomb and go back to the Father. We see Jesus laugh. He's laughing with his disciples. He's cracking jokes. I've never seen that. But I realize Jesus is human. And so in that moment, I'm realizing I have to come with Jesus and be honest with him. He wants to know when I'm having a great day. I'm like, hey, that was funny. Yeah, that was funny. He wants community. And I began to feel like, do I have that type of community with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus? Because the point is, he takes our hands. He walks through it. In Scripture, it talks about that the Lord's gone through it all. On that cross, he bore every sickness, every disease, every type of situation that we might have faced. So as we get ready to go into Palm Sunday, as we come and celebrate his death and resurrection, this is the point where I'm celebrating. I get to have a relationship. I get to have community. So my next piece is, I don't want to leave you with, hey, guys, let's just expose fear. What I want to talk to you tonight, the rest of tonight, about is how to deal when you have that fear moment. Now, do we have any survivalists in the house that have taken a survival course? Okay. If anybody, Bonnie, it would be you. I'm sure it would be. One of the first things you do if you get lost in the forest, what do you think it is? Call 911? You might not have cell phone service. If you're smart and you're a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout, you might have a compass. You stop, right? You just stop. You don't want to panic. You don't want to do anything. So you stop. I'm going to turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. I don't see it exactly because I didn't put my notations fully in here. Oh, perfect. Could you go to, let's see. Go to the next slide if you don't mind. All right. So the walls of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. He sat down and he wept. When I found out in this moment of panic, I stopped. Because the name of Jesus, saying it over and over and over repetitiously, can I step on a couple of toes? Did Jesus not say, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do? For they think they're going to be heard for their many words. Saying Jesus, 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 Jesus over and over is almost vain repetitions if you don't know how to use the name of Jesus. Yes, there's power in it, but how do we use it? So we see right now, he says, he sat down and he wept. Just for time, he also sat down, he wept. We'll just go back to the points here. If you'll just take it to the points, David. Perfect. Sat down. You can go to the next one. He wept. He mourned, fasted, and prayed. That's a little bit different than what we generally do. Sometimes we get pushing. Sometimes we just want to ignore the thought. Do we know what Nehemiah did? Do we see that he's in the Bible, the greatness of what he has done? Because he did these five things. And I want to encourage us, it's important to know the why and not push out when the trauma comes. Why are we celebrating this? Why are we celebrating Easter? That's what I love about our teachings the last several weeks. We're understanding why we celebrate Palm Sunday, why we celebrate Maundy Thursday, why we have Good Friday. I mean, I don't know if you've been, I think it's Maundy Thursday, I believe that's the proper pronunciation. I don't know if you've ever been to one of those services. It's intense. Sometimes they turn off the lights. They're only using scriptures that reference like the death of Jesus. It's very somber. But I'm glad for those services because it makes me reflect on the price. And to ignore it means when I use the name of Jesus, how did that come to be? How did that come to be that even demons tremble and flee because of this name Jesus? Because he took hell captive. Because he died on the cross. So as we come into out of the season of Advent into the celebration, we have to know the why behind the celebration. And when we get to know it by stopping or sitting, however you want. I mean, Nehemiah, he's just sat down. But don't allow these circumstances in life to break us, to keep pushing. That gets us into dangerous territory. Don't fear to face our feelings. God created feelings. It's a beautiful thing. It's an important thing. And the job that I do right now, I work with orthotics. And a lot of times when we're dealing with the orthotics, the individuals that we're dealing with might have diabetes. Neuropathy. I don't know if you're familiar with neuropathy. Most of the time when we're dealing with that, they can't feel their feet or fully sensation in their feet. So if they're too close to heat and they don't know it, their feet are going to burn. That could create other issues and later amputation. If you have amputation, they give you pretty much 3 years to live after amputation. So in my line of work, we have to be very careful to make sure that, hey, this person, their feet are protected by plastisone inserts and orthotics that are going to help their feet. But when you don't have feeling, you don't know when danger hits because you're ignoring it. So God created us to have feelings. And when we discard those feelings and saying, nope, I'm a super Christian, I'm going to stand over here because I got joy and peace in my heart. Hallelujah. But yet inside, you are just a shell of yourself. You're lying. And you don't even know it. The enemy has you in a malaise and a fog. And then when the train comes, you're taken out. Then it's like, oh, well, Christianity wasn't for me. The cross didn't do it for me. No, you disregarded your feelings. So my heart to you tonight is let's process through the feelings. sit down. If we got to weep, let's weep. If you have to mourn, let's mourn. If you have to fast, let's fast. And then, of course, we're going to pray. Have that dialogue. If I look back in this process to that Sunday, and yes, I did stop, and I stopped using the name of Jesus as I did, but if I didn't dialogue with the Father and saying, hey, what do I need to know? I would be stuck. I would be stuck. But when I got that phone call on that Monday morning, I was shaken, but I was not broken. And one of the reasons for that is I have family members that need to know the Lord. And me walking out my faith and a way of saying I am broken before the Lord, but I'm willing to walk this with Him. I'm not going to allow fear to be my future. I'm not going to allow that to be my sound. My older brother, he's in West Virginia, and he just was like, you handle this. He was on the phone with me. I'm getting ready to have a baby. Do I want to handle probate? No. So right now I'm handling probate. I got to deal with collectors. You know, I'm having to go to court. I have all these things to do. But if I would allow fear to be my language, then I'm not representing my King. I'm not representing the kingdom of heaven. And that's the whole point we have on earth. So expose the fear. Allow God to expose the fear so we can begin to build a healthy paradigm. We don't need to be super soldiers. We just need to hold Abba's hand and walk through it. Harvest, we are positioned in a way that God wants us to walk through things. Just a couple miles down the street, we had that shooting at Walmart. They're getting ready to open up here in May. That's a tragedy. We just had another school shooting happen just a couple of days ago. But we need to talk about it. We need to let go of fear and say, hey, you need to take a walk with Jesus. Because it's important. It's vital. It's necessity. Because when you have healthiness, God moves. That's part of revival. Would you stand with me tonight? Tonight, I just want to ask the Lord to begin to expose fear in our lives. Because fear is not our language. Faith is. Faith to pray over the sick and to see them healed. Prayers of faith to see demons flee. That's part of the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. For those that believe, you shall do these signs and wonders. How can we do these signs and wonders when we're sitting up here cooped in fear? Because you know what begins to happen? The identity that we have. It's like, you know what? I know that I'm supposed to pray. I'm an intercessor. But Pastor so-and-so is in the room, and I'm afraid that he might say something to me, and I might mess up. That's hindering us from our identity. That's fear. And God's calling us into our identity as believers. They're going to pray prayers that are shifting people in their destiny. So let's take a moment. Let's ask the Lord to expose the fears in our heart. So, Father, right now, in love, in peace, we just ask that fear would bow in the name of Jesus. We ask that fear would be exposed in our lives, the small fears, the big fears, that they are eradicated right now, that, God, you would walk with us in this moment, that as Harvest, as a church, that we are positioned here in Chesapeake, that we're not afraid to go and minister the gospel. We're not afraid to be here on this corner. So God, would you allow us to be those that are positioned for revival, that aren't afraid of the snot that's going to be on the floor and the cries and the jubilation when people are free. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, would you come? Oh, we thank you right now, Father. We give you all that fear right now in Jesus' name. Right now, fear yield. Right now in Jesus' name. Just let fear go right now. Let it go. Let it go. This is a brief moment, but let it go. We speak against the fear that's just creeping up of wanting to let go of fear in Jesus' name. You have no authority. No authority. No authority. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you that we are your kids. that you are our dear Father that doesn't let us skip a beat, that you're there every single moment, that you hold our hands on the mountaintop and in the valley because you are a good, good, good Father. Thank you for being our Abba. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.